seems weird, doesn't it?
I know. It's like done this in so long. A reunion tour.
I think I remember how to start this off. Welcome to the Kayak Mainline Podcast. My name is Kelly Blades, and as always,
I'm David Johnston.
And we are finally recording our annual Kayak Mainline Podcast.
This is episode 15.
No, 150. Yeah. 150. These people, they don't know. They don't know what happens in the internet. nobody knows what's that. That's what makes the internet magical. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
So I'm going with 200.
Yeah, okay, I'll go with that.
I'm going with 200, and I'm going to stick with that. It's actually, it really is episode 15.
Welcome to our 200th episode.
Welcome to our 215th episode. And boy, howdy, has it been a while.
It was last February.
No, say it ain't so.
Yeah.
Like as in 2015 or 2014? Because that's how many times.
No, we that's that court. Bad. Yeah,
we kind of are.
This is like the Guns N' Roses of 15 years in between every album, Chinese
that's
Democracy.
True. You know, the thing is we actually retired, and then we're coming back by popular demand.
Very popular.
Fives of our fans have asked us to go. Actually, I've been you've been doing a lot of events. I have been doing a lot of events, and I am stunned, absolutely, it gassed my flabber to find out that people were actually listening to the podcast and enjoying it. And
it's shocking,
a little bit. And and they were asking, when are you going to do another one? And of course, my stock answer is, well, you know, the lives of David Johnston and Kelly Blades are multi-chromatic in their sides. And I never say that. I've never once said that. Mm. What I do say, though, is, you know, we should really get at that
someday.
And
that day is today.
And that day is today. I'm so excited. David, I haven't seen you for a few months. And, it's been, 2 months? Close to it.
Yeah, mid-July. So it's been a month.
Yeah, but we haven't talked like this for a while. We haven't had our little moment like this for a while, so I'm very, very excited. You, sir, of course, are recording in the bathroom.
Yes.
Which is the place that all good things happen in the Johnston household. Oh, yeah. I, myself, am in the what we call the mobile command center.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know me, the mobile command center is actually my camper. So
off-site recording.
Off-site, that's right. I'm going to actually build a little booth here and maybe an altar. Mm. I've always liked altars. I don't know what I would, dedicate the altar to.
Yeah.
But, so I'm in my little camper out in the backyard.
Okay.
In beautiful rural, it's not really rural, but Southeast Michigan.
Excellent.
And you're in Toronto, as always. No one has moved.
No, we're still here. I'm fabulous. Overlooking downtown Toronto.
Oh, man, that's got to be good.
Yeah, it's all right.
Because Toronto's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, so what have you been up to?
Well, since last February, golly gee.
Nah, let's skip ahead to like the last 2 months.
Okay. In my opinion, I just went for it and I committed the cardinal sin.
Okay.
Which is, I kind of learned how to stand up paddle.
Nice.
Yeah. And, you know, for those of you who have been listening to the podcast or know me personally, I have been a bit down on the stand up paddling. Mm. And, it took a good friend of mine, Trey, over at the Power of Water, to really to force me kicking and screaming into the process.
With a lot of kicking.
And here was the problem that I always had. It seemed like everybody who did stand-up paddling was either a hot soccer mom, which good for you, or they were these juiced-up sort of, I couldn't do it, I couldn't make it as a football running back, so I'm going to do stand-up paddling. And they were all flexy, and they all wanted to paddle 60 miles at a time. Everybody talked about racing.
Okay, really? Yeah.
So the whole deal about stand-up paddling, they never really talked about just standing up and paddling. It was like, I got a race, man. I'm fourth in the country. I'm sixth in my division. I'm number one with a silver bullet, blah, blah, blah. And it bothered me so much that I never wanted to do it because it seemed like it was just a bunch of people who raced.
Right, right.
And then I got on a board, and I went out with Steve Shearer and Trey. And you know what we did? We just messed about.
That's all right.
And had a lovely time. And so I have a stand-up board now, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's the big thing is I became a certified instructor. And guys, it's not that difficult to become. If you're an instructor as a kayaker, you should probably give it a try and expand your horizons. Nice. I have learned from my mistakes. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. And so, you know, that's what I did. I went out and I've taken the kids out.
Yeah. How are the youngins? Are they having fun?
The little bladeslets are quite enjoyable to the process. Actually, my lovely wife Lisa actually got on one as well.
Okay.
And she didn't have quite as good a time of it, but I think it's a growing process for her. She's a kayaker.
Yeah, okay.
So kind of in the same spot as I did. So that's number one thing that I think I should announce to everybody that I tap out really on the stand up paddling thing. It's a lot of fun. I had a great time. I'm enjoying doing it. It's not going to take the place of my kayaking. This will not be SUP mainline anytime soon. But I do enjoy it. So I gave you one. Now, David, you give me one. What have you been up to?
I was probably the big thing this year. I just got off guiding a trip on Lake Superior.
So you say that like it was no big deal,
oh,
right?
Yeah, I was just found my way there.
Went out for a paddle. No big, man. It's cool. You know, I didn't do anything but paddle to like a freaking remote nowhere island that only, you know, circus people and super spies go to.
And a big rocket out of the volcano in the middle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dr. Yes. Evil was standing there waiting to launch the missiles. You were placed in an easily escapable trap. It was great.
Yeah. It was great. We were out for, it was 8 days. Yeah. Yes. 8 days we were out for. And we went out and around Michipicoten Island, which is offshore about 20 kilometers. So what's that in miles?
I don't know. In all honesty, I believe it is, I don't know, like 14 miles?
Sure. Sounds good. Let's make it 16 even.
Let's
good time.
Let's call it 30.
Yeah.
You know, you want to big stuff it, go ahead and big stuff it.
Yeah, you know, so it was, so we ran around the island, then we paddled back to the mainland. So it's a crossing of 30 miles or 200, whatever we want to say, but
250 K.
Yeah, it was about 18 kilometers. So.
You know what make everything sound better is if we did it in meters.
Oh yeah, right.
I did a 14,000 meter paddle. Oh my God, how did you survive? Well, I just never gave up hope. You know, I ate my Wheaties and rah.
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah,
a ton of Red Bull, man. That's all you did. You just juiced up on Red Bull and went for it.
Yeah. I was out surfing the other day, and it was 3,700 centimeters tall waves.
Wow.
They were just massive.
I'm actually scared just doing the math on that one. My side rule doesn't go that far. And, you know,
yeah,
not that bright.
So. What else did we do? So I was up there doing that, and that was really exciting. And then a couple symposiums earlier this year. So,
oh yeah, which symposium was?
Well, I was at the Great Lakes Sea Kayak Symposium.
Oh, the deuce! You say, tell me more.
Yeah, that was a great event. I had a good time. You should have been there.
I should have. Mm-hmm. Actually, I was there, and I still should have been there.
Oh, why didn't you should come talk to me?
I didn't even know you were there. You know, it's a big town, Grand Marais. All right. For those of you who have never been to the Great Lakes Symposium, first of all, shame on you, because it's quite a bit of fun. But if you can imagine, I've said this before on the show, if you can imagine the middle of nowhere in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, if you go 23 miles north of there, that's where you're going to find the town of Grand Marais, which has an operating summer population of 400 people.
Yeah.
And now,
7 weirdos in the winter.
Oh, yeah. 7 really scary mustachioed people, including the women folk. And that's not, you know, I'm not saying anything bad. It's cold up there, guys. Grow a mustache if you're going to live there. But yeah, so if you think like 170 kayakers showing up in a town that bubbles out at 400. Mm. So you're doubling it right there. Or you're not doubling. You know what I mean.
They knew the event was going on.
They did. They actually evacuate.
Yeah.
There's a lot of running and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so, yeah, it's on the edge of the Pictured Rocks.
Yes, on the south shore of Lake Superior.
Which is quite lovely.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. So you and I were up there, and we actually got to teach together.
I know. It's a rare opportunity.
It is a rare opportunity. Yeah. We never get to do that. And so that was fun. And we also had our – I was thinking about this. We had Ray help us. He was out there, and he was getting it, man. He's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But what I think we should do is just start promoting Ray. He doesn't have a last name. He's just some sort of weird sort of superhero kayaker who comes from the hinterlands of Canada all the way down to help us with our kayaking problems. So, guys, if you see Ray, and you'll know who Ray is, just pat him on the back and you know, say, you know, ask him where his cape is and really perpetuate that. Because from what I understand, he's like half Yeti and half alligator.
And 200%
awesome. 200%
awesome.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, we were up there with Ray and had a great event. It was a lot of fun. And of course you were there. We had a lot of Canadians there.
We did.
Which is good.
We showed up. We know how to travel together. We
had a great so event. Much.
It's a great event. I love the Great Lakes Symposium. It's probably, it's easily my favorite one that I do the year.
Really? All
one symposium I do every year. It's my favorite one.
You're making me blush. And A, you only do one symposium really. So, but I'll take it. I'll take that. Yeah, so we had a lot of Canadians, as so much so that we're going to start offering Paddle Canada courses at the Great Lakes Symposium. So along with the BCU, yeah. Which is now called what?
I don't know.
Paddle Sports North America?
The North American one, yeah.
The PNA, right?
Yeah.
And the American Canoe Association stuff. We're going cross-cultural, and we're going to do some Paddle Sports Canada stuff.
I'd like to see a good gang fight. Three-way fight.
Could you imagine how uneventful that would be with kayakers? It would be absolutely. You know what? The only way to make it an actual fight is if we, you know, separated the traditional versus the Euro paddlers on one side, or the Skeggs versus Rudders guys, and then have
that fight is over, eh?
Oh yeah, we're not fighting that one anymore.
Ugh.
Gosh, we've all agreed, huh?
And we know who won.
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
that's good news.
It was a busy year. We were running around with family. Kids were at summer camp, and nice. School starts real soon. So thank goodness.
Cool. Well, I did the Ladies of the Lake Symposium as well, which is a lot of fun. Then and again, this is something that happens in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, put on by Downwind Sports, and it was a Greece themed party.
Was it? And how was that?
Greece. It was the word.
Okay. Nice.
Greece is, in point of fact, the word. It's kind of cool. It's got a meaning. It's the time and the place and the motion.
Yeah.
Let's face it. Greece is the way we are feeling.
Did anybody actually show up in old cars?
You know what? They kind of did. I don't want to ruin the surprise, but they didn't have an old car, but they actually did represent the 57 Chevy.
Really?
Right there. So nice. Yeah, a lot of great costumes. So again, for those of you guys who don't know, at the Ladies of the Lake Symposium, we have a costume party every year, a themed costume party, and Greece was the theme party this year. So, had a lot of poodle skirts and all kinds of crazy stuff. Mm. So, yeah, good time. Good nice. Time.
Next year should be rocker chick. That's what I think you guys should do.
Oh, I think you're right.
So, white, tight leather with tassels.
So, this cracks me up. We're asking people, you know, kind of casually, what the next year theme party should be. And this woman just looks over and goes, whores. Really? Just cut out the middleman on that one, right? Just go right for whores. And I don't even know how that would affect the demographic. Because, you know, you got to believe that the demographic that we have not going to be terribly excited to hear that the theme party is whores. And yet, they'd still show up, and they'd be those misogynistic bastards. And now I got to pull a whore costume out of nowhere.
I don't have one. Got to go shopping.
I got to be honest. I've done it casually, but I've never gone to a party as a man whore. So that's something. I'd like to do that. Yeah.
Man camp would just be like packed, biggest year ever.
Oh, it would be. Yeah, there'd be people lining up. You know who taught man camp?
Who?
Ray.
Oh, of course he did. That guy's 200% awesome.
He is too. He pisses excellence. That guy Ray. Oh, holy monkey butt.
Let's talk zombies.
Do we have to talk zombies?
Yeah.
Because, oh my.
Okay,
I,
what
not
did
only,
you do? Let's talk about last night.
Of course we are. Not only did I watch the show last night, for those of you just waking up from a deep, deep coma from the 70s, we're talking about Fear the Walking Dead, which is the spinoff of The Walking Dead. Not only was I just focused and entranced with the notion of that, but one of the first commercials, of course, October 11th, 2015, is the next season of Walking
Dead. Awesome.
It really did.
What did you think of the episode last night? So Fear of the Walking Dead, the spinoff.
Okay. So if okay, I kind of felt like it went a little too deep in the Dawson Creek.
Yeah, a little.
You know, it was a bit victorious, kind of teen pop sort of thing. And I didn't, but I'll tell you, I didn't think I would like the main character, Travis. And okay. I'm kind of digging him. I think that they tried to push the I'm such a nice guy kind of thing a little too far.
Yeah.
And there's no way I'm going into a church, an ex-church that's a crack house now.
Yeah.
You know, so he goes into, oh, I don't want to ruin anything.
Oh, well, wow. These people aren't going to watch it. Oh, they should.
They should, but if you haven't watched it already, again, shame on you.
Yeah.
And you know what? Tough crap. You get the spoiler. So dude goes in looking for his stepson.
Yeah.
In an abandoned church that is now, you know, a meth asylum. And that's actually where they find, we meet the very first zombie we are ever going to meet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But he goes in, so we're talking drug area, Compton style kind of,
yeah,
no crap kind of place.
Yeah.
And he goes in with just a flashlight.
I know.
Really?
It's like,
because yeah. I can tell you where zombies will not get a foothold in Compton. Okay? Let's face facts. No one, like, that's like going down to Brightmoor in Detroit here.
Right.
And finding zombies. There will not be zombies in Brightmoor. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, the thing is that it was a 90-minute episode, and I strongly think that every time someone's going to do a 90-minute episode, they need to take, like, a two-hour episode and cut it way down. So it was like, it would have been a really strong episode if it was 60 minutes, because then they could have edited out all the drama.
Wait a minute, 60 minutes is a news program. I don't think.
Well, it was a 90 minute episode.
Oh, you're not talking about the show.
No.
Got it. Okay. No, I would love to see Barbara Walters as a zombie. I think everybody would.
Try to interview them, get them to cry.
Let's face it, I've watched her recently. She kind of is.
But, today we're interviewing zombies.
Today.
Yeah. But that's good. The thing. Like, it was just kind of like, okay, well, every kind of the talk scenes and everybody, you know, pouring out their hearts. I just thought, oh, these all could have been like 2 minutes shorter. And either way, I just want to see zombies and chaos. Like, I don't care about drama. I can get drama at home. I don't need it on TV.
So I literally, you and I were texting last night. I don't think it's any surprise to anybody that we were like schoolgirls texting. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. What's going to happen? And one of the firefighters that I know, we were texting. I had like this sort of four-way conversation going on, all texting like, you know, like we were watching the Beatles for the first time and they had text messaging. But I texted you and you agreed. I wanted all the kids to be eaten almost immediately.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Right. That is justice right there.
Yeah. Like, me too.
I don't like you either, Mom. You're making poor choices with your life. Oh,
yeah.
Getting their throat eaten out by a zombie. That's what I want to see. You know what? I'm going to sit riveted. And, you know, even if it's not a very good series in the first first season, I'm still going to watch, and I'm going to cry about it the entire. Oh my God, this isn't as good.
Yeah,
but I'm going to watch it every last one of them.
Yep.
You don't want to mess around with that.
Nope.
So, are we done with Walking Dead? Because I don't want to, you know, cut it short if you got something important.
No, I got nothing new.
So a friend of mine and I were talking recently, and we'd like some input. So it's kayakmainline@gmail.com. If you could go ahead and send in your comments. And this is the first David's hearing about this. I want to take the original Rocky script, but I want to cast all Jewish actors all the way down.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So, you know, just go ahead and send me your ideas. I can't figure out who I want to be Rocky, but I do know that Jerry Stiller has to play the Burgess Meredith character.
That'd be awesome.
See where I'm going with this? Great.
Is there going to be a bit of a musical too? Because we could easily whip something into that.
Well, of course. But I think
the original script.
Yeah, exactly. Like verbatim. Aside from when he goes see the Catholic priest, he actually goes sees his rabbi, which I think would be great.
Yeah.
Rocky, it's late. What are you doing up here? and why? It's the Sabbath. It's you're driving on the Sabbath. I thought. Enough of nothing, but, you know, it's not Orthodox. All right. It's the mitzvah, what you're doing, fighting.
Yeah, okay.
Might be good. He's hitting me so hard. He's hitting me so fast. I can't stop. Rocky, you gotta get yourself together. You know? See where I'm going with this? It sounds good.
All right.
So, there you go. That's what I got.
I got nothing fun like that. But I got news.
You got news?
Yep.
It's time for the Kayak Mainline News. Yes, your source for news all over the world, down the street or just outside your door.
All right, so let's get to our first news story.
Okay, bring it later. All right.
This could be the oldest message in a bottle ever found.
I saw this news story. Didn't read it, but I saw it. Tell me.
It's a fascinating story. So it took place back in April, but the story just broke just recently. So it's fresh off the presses.
That's in Germany, folks.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Do that one more time. Do that again.
In Germany, so a couple were walking along the beach just in and found the oldest message in a bottle ever recovered. They were strolling along the beach.
Walking, minding their own business.
They found a bottle, and they found out that the bottle was thrown into the big water sometime between 1904 and 1906 by a guy named George Parker Bitter out of the UK. So he was studying currents. So he tossed over 1,000 bottles into the North Sea with a little note in it that said, if you mail in this coupon, we'll send you one whole shilling. There was a little survey in there of where you found it and that type of stuff. And so this has been, I don't know, floating around somewhere for 109 years old.
Okay. Got a bunch of questions here.
Okay.
First of all.
Give it to me.
All right. First of all, littering.
I know. It's disgusting. 1,000 bottles.
1,000 bottles. I expect to see this guy in a waistcoat, you know, walking out to the beach, and he's got 1,000 bottles in his hand, and he's just like throwing them out as he's smoking and friggin', you know, just there's like
taking
tar
on his
shoes. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's literally throwing them at seals.
Yeah.
To see if he can get it farther out.
It's disgusting to me that he's, you know, a sea current research icon. Really? Mm-hmm. Litterbug.
Really? Is he an icon though? Did you do any research on this guy? Did he learn? Okay. Let's call him.
There's
one
a
of
photo
the
of him, and it's in black and white. He's staring into a microscope. I think it's a posed photo.
He's studying currents by looking at the microphone. Clearly, not a good currentist. But you know, but he's hailed in our opinion as one of the foremost current experts of our modern age.
Yeah, that's what it's known as.
Yeah, Bitters was his name, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So he's a litter bug. Got that. He can clearly not find the ocean because he's looking through a microscope.
Yep.
He has got clearly a bunch of cash laying around. How much was a shilling worth back then?
I don't know. $1,800? Who knows? I don't know. The shilling.
The shilling.
I feel it's those things that they always kind of toss to people on TV when they want that little beggar boy to go away. Here, have a shilling.
I believe that's a farthing, but I'm not sure. have a farthing.
We are experts in old world currency.
Dude, we can't even count our own money. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. When he and I go out with American dollars and Canadian dollars, we can't figure out how to pay a bill.
No.
It's horrible and terrible. It's horrible.
Yeah, I just dash and dine then. That's why.
We all panic and just run. Like, oh, look at that. And then, you know, we're out of there.
So the family – okay, so let's go back to the German family. They do their due diligence, and they pull it out of the little coupon. They mail it in.
Okay.
And to the Marine Biological Association – are thrilled about it, and they sent him a letter, and with the shilling that was promised to them.
No, and really? They had a shilling?
Yeah, they found it out somewhere.
If we've got some British listeners, let me know. Do you guys still use shillings? I don't even know.
Yeah, who knows? And it's currently going to they've checked in with the Guinness Book of World Records, because it could be the oldest message in a bottle ever found. At 109 years, because the current one, the official oldest, is 99 years, and they're at 109. So
wow,
yeah. So I've decided I want to get my name in there and get a photo of me. So I'm just going to start pitching bottles in the water everywhere I go.
You know what? You're in Toronto. It wouldn't be any different.
Yeah,
people just throw all kinds of shit in your water and they just run away. It's terrible. I've paddled in Toronto. It's not pretty, but
we just turn a blind eye to it.
It's true. And just like this guy, here's the thing though. if now you're setting a precedence, okay? So the next time you and I are clearly dumping garbage into a large body of water and the cops pull up, what do we're checking currents.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a get out of jail free card.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so almost literally.
Yeah, what I'm going to do is just carry a bottle or just like one of those tin pails like they do on TV and just start like old like scraps of food and just start pitching that in and just be like, yeah, yeah, checking current.
With scraps of food.
Yeah.
This is a lot very similar to your notion that you were going to quit your job and get a stick with a kerchief on the back of it and wander the rails. It's not going to work out as nearly as well as you planned.
I had this vision of romantic vision of what it would, being a hobo would be like.
Yeah. You know what? There was a lot of knife fights. It's not kindly children in every town giving you a free bowl of soup and then, you know, you teaching them a life lesson. I'm fairly certain that there's a lot of knife fights and possible drug use.
Do not pop the bubble.
Okay. Hobos, they're just like Disney movies.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But I've got a public service announcement for everybody.
He's so sensitive. just run with it. Just when you see him, tell him hobos are good.
Exactly. Keep that in mind, people.
Yeah, exactly.
I got a safety tip for the children.
PSA. Public safety announcement, because that's what we do here at Kayak Mainline. We're not just about the glitz and glamour. We also want to educate.
No, and this is it. And this is so you're out kayaking / surfing / souping, whatever you happen to be doing, and a shark attacks you. So a shark's attacking you.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Everybody seems to think that you should just punch it straight in the nose.
Pow. Dude, I have little else to do if a shark is attacking me aside from cry. Possibly defecate, I might be punching the thing wherever I can find it.
Well, okay.
But here's the thing. You know what I would also do? I would try to go for the gills because I think that would do it.
Well, research is showing.
Just jam a thumb right into the gill is what
No, research is showing that apparently a punch in the nose doesn't help you get away from sharks. So I'm sad to disappoint.
Who was the test group that they had to send out and punch sharks in the nose? What kind of jackass does that?
It came from this. A 15-year-old boy was down in Garden City, North Carolina. South Carolina?
Yep.
South Carolina.
Who cares? It's all Carolina.
Yeah. And he got bit. And so there was – he tried to punch it in the nose. So then the top dog news reporter, Joe Allen of the CarolinaAlive.com, WPDE.com, he went to talk to some shark experts who said probably punching the shark in the nose probably wouldn't do much. In fact, the exact quote, "I wouldn't recommend hitting them right where their teeth are."
Good call.
Because you're more likely to get your hands stuck in their mouth than to get them to release their bite.
See, now that doesn't seem like you have to test that. That seems like a pretty clear thing.
Well, that came straight from Ashley Hartness, who's a shark expert, or from the Ripley's Aquarium.
Believe it or not.
She would know it.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I trust women named Ashley.
Yeah, I do as well. I have a strict policy for it.
Yeah, well, it's a bilateral policy. Yeah. I don't even know what bilateral means.
So apparently she recommends an old thumb to the eyeball.
Ooh, because they got beady little doll eyes.
Yeah.
They got creepy little dead eyes. Like they said in Jaws, is the sharks they got. They got dead eyes. And farewell and adieu to you. I cannot talk about sharks without having to sing that song. I absolutely love – that's the only reason why you watch that movie. But I agree. You take a thumb and you jab it in the eye. The problem is that they have massive bodies and tiny little beady little eyes.
I know.
Yeah, that's a tough call.
It definitely is a hard target. She said, don't thrash around as it might antagonize the shark.
I'm going to say something that's controversial.
Okay. For a change?
For a change. You might have to edit this out because I'm already thinking better of it, but I'm going to say it nonetheless.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
So instead of trying to punch the shark, swim with your slower, mentally challenged friends.
Yeah, totally.
You don't have to be faster than the bear.
Exactly. That's what I do. That's why I always swim with my kids.
Right. And I'm not saying like actually mentally disabled. We're not talking about that. People who have jobs and everything like that, they're just kind of dumb. They might not, their IQ does not reflect it, but they're just dumb. The dudes that, and they're always dudes, the women never fall for this crap, but the guys that you take with you swimming.
That fat cousin.
There you go, the fat cousin. When you see the fin, say Chucky. I don't know why they're always called Chucky, but Chucky, go get the beach ball floating out there.
Exactly.
They go swimming, you go in, bam. The shark feeds well.
It's called testing the waters.
Mm-hmm. Now that is a test group that I can get behind right there.
Yeah. I'd support you in that cause.
Yeah. So the gills. So did they say anything about the gills? Because I feel like the gills would work.
No. The reporter didn't dig that deep. So.
Okay. Here's a question. Hypothetical, if you will. Bruce Lee.
Okay.
Attacked by a shark. What does he do? He's clearly far better trained than most people.
Yeah. I think Chuck Norris Rattenhouse would probably take care of it.
I think probably he keeps nunchucks in his in his bathing suit, man. So if a
fold out
freaking shark comes out, man, he's just wigging those around and bam, it's done.
I can go with that. Here's a fun fact around sharks that I learned. You're 22 times more likely to get killed by a cow than by a shark.
I can believe that. Growing up in farm country.
Yep.
The bovine are nothing to be messed with. Kids, pay attention.
Yeah.
So why do cows wear bells?
Why?
Their horns don't work. See what I did there? I brought it all the way around. We like to entertain everybody. We want to entertain the kids. We want to entertain the adults. We want to just do everything. So anyways,
that's my public service announcement about
good.
Sharks.
So let's sum that one. We have to sum up. So if you're attacked by a shark.
Don't go for the throat. No, don't. Going for the throat? No, only if they're going for Chuck Norris. No, what's his face? Anyways, generally don't punch him in the nose.
Don't punch him anywhere the teeth are.
Yeah, or antagonize them by flailing around.
Or that's right, don't antagonize them.
Always. And I feel that that's more just a fact that, you know, they're trying to get your arms. If you're flailing around, that's just going to make them upset because it's going to make it harder for them to get.
That's true. Give them something easy to bite off and they'll be happy.
Like the fat cousin.
If you make them work for it. They're going to get angry. So if you have to aim for something, aim for the most difficult thing to hit on their body, which, of course, is their beady little doll eyes.
Yeah. I'm sure some shark expert out there will write and tell us we're all wrong, but we'll let them take the effort and write us.
Well, you know what? We're just doing what we're told to do here. We're helping society by giving this PSA out.
What do we got here?
Another news story.
A boat parade held in Brazil to protest pollution on Olympic venue.
Hilarious, because boats run on gasoline.
Yeah, and they're protesting the pollution. But it's not pollution from gas. It's pollution from poo. Have you been following the story, Olympic?
Pollution? No.
So 2016 in Rio de Janeiro.
Rio. When my baby smiles at me, I go to Rio de Janeiro.
So there was a protest, and they're trying to raise awareness for the fact that in Brazil, part of the whole thing was the fact that they were going to clean up the main bay in Rio de Janeiro, and it's essentially less than a year away, or just a speck over a year away, and it's still essentially a giant open sewer. So the whole sailing community and the canoeing competitive side of things runs right out of that whole area, and they're all in a panic over it because it's essentially a giant open sewer. So anyways.
Well, here's the thing though. You don't want to clean that up too early because, you know, the Brazilian people, they all have to defecate now and again. So it's just going to get messed up. I would wait for like 3 days beforehand just so you can get it nice and clean.
Just a quick bottle of Javex.
Yeah.
That'd take care
of it. Just bam, right there. Yeah. So they're having a pollution problem. I've said that before, and I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's worth doing it.
Really is.
Yeah, so there was a protest of boats.
What kind of boats? What kind of boats? Are we talking sailboats, giant yachts?
Yeah, motorboats, sailboats, canoes, kayaks.
Oh, how many boats?
30.
That's not a protest. That's actually a gathering. We actually have more people at a singular lesson. Then got together clearly, and Rio is a big city.
International news. When was the last time 30 of your boat friends made the international news?
I gotta be honest, only when someone dies.
Let's get beyond the numbers and let's deal with the poo.
No, let's not get beyond the numbers because it was a horrific failure that only 30. If they're so angry about all the poo, you'd think you'd invite some friends.
Well, I don't know, maybe they were busy or something.
Okay, well then you shouldn't be protesting. If you're too busy to protest, just don't sit around reading the paper. You know, Marge. You know, there's a lot of poo in there. I wish some plucky group of yachtists will get together and protest. I don't have time. I gotta go to the bathroom before I go to work.
The tricky part is they're threatening to move it out of the area and within less than a year away. Because I guess the last time they ran it, a whole bunch of people got sick. And so they're worried that they're going to.
Here's a little bit more financially viable option. Yeah. Pay all 30 people on the boat like $100 to just shut the hell up.
It was great how in the short like 1 minute of talking about this story, you went from fully supporting it to
I am totally supportive of cleaning up the environment completely. But I am offended by the people of Rio de Janeiro who have an international event focused around 30 people. I mean, talk about the epitome of laziness right there.
Okay, maybe there was 5 cruise ships there of like 500 people apiece. So
maybe. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Maybe one was...
They were just out of the scope of the camera.
Maybe one was George Clinton and the P-Funk All-Stars in the mothership coming down. Maybe it was awesome. But I'm saying 30 ships does not a protest... Boats. Because you even said there were kayaks and canoes. And now, I don't know if you've kayaked before, but mm-hmm. you have. And mm-hmm. usually they're 1-2-seaters, really. It's not one of those .65 where you're going to have 65 people in a freaking kayak. So... You know what, Brazil? Get it together, okay? Have another protest, but do it right. Because this is just... You're
setting yourself up as consulting for this one.
Yeah, exactly. Give me a call. You know what? I can bring more than 30 people down to Brazil.
You just pay our way. We'll be there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's outrageous.
Yeah, it is. But here's on so many levels.
Guys... If you're listening and you're in Brazil, sorry, we're not speaking Portuguese. We just don't know the language. But also, stop pooping in the water. Mm-hmm. That's just don't.
Because I have a strict policy against that, too.
You have a lot of strict policies, and I applaud them.
Yeah, I know.
So, okay.
So then we got our last story. So there's poo and sand down there.
Yeah, poo.
But I got a last story, but we're going to end on a better note.
Yay!
Yeah. So this is, and I'm sure you've been following this story from beginning of the whole thing. So there's an old man paddling down the Mississippi River.
You old man river?
Yeah.
Old man river.
Hold on, I gotta harmonize. It's
actually sung by one African American man. That's kind of the whole never mind.
This is an 80-year old man named Dale Sanders.
Holy crap, I love this guy already. 80 years old, man.
He's gonna be the oldest guy. And he's started in June. He's going to be done in September.
Yeah.
He's already – and he started at the top of the river, and he's doing the whole thing. The headwaters, as we'd say here in Canada. Yeah. And and he is basically – he's paddling down. He's raising awareness for his grandniece who has juvenile type 1 diabetes.
Okay.
And he's raising money for that. He has how many more? Like 400 – miles left, but he's done just under 2,000 already.
That's so totally freakishly cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. So he's working on that. He should be finished in about a month from now, and he'll hold the record as the oldest man doing it.
Here's the deal.
Yep.
I don't have any jokes about that.
No.
I got no jokes about that. That guy is totally badass and good for him. Canoeing and or kayaking?
He's canoeing, but a buddy of his has been doing about a third of it so far, and he's kayaking. So the two of them have been going down. So he's been solo canoeing it, and it was in a custom-made Winona.
Nice. Good for you, Winona. Mike Chick, here's to you. Good work. Although I got to say that Winona, Mike Chickanowski is really cool. Mm-hmm. In so far, I mean, he's kind of crazy sometimes. He's uber competitive, but you have to be to have a company like that.
Yeah.
But by and large, he is really, really cool. And if you ever get a chance to meet him, what you're going to find is you will never expect the fact that he will not make a dime. It's something like he won't make any money off of selling a kayak or a canoe to the people who live in Winona, the town that he grew up in. Mm. So, I mean, he totally takes care of anybody who wants to paddle one of his boats and lives in his town. And anybody who comes along who has a story about wanting to do something cool and epic, he's totally into it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like this guy, I bet he showed up and he's like, well, I guess it's probably give him a canoe and let him go, hey, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So good for you, Mike Chickanowski. Good for you, Winona. If it was Bill, if it was you who did this, perfect. But yeah, good for you guys, Winona. This is a pretty sweet story.
Yeah, and my other little fun fact about it is Dale was originally, let me just double check this, that he was, he's a Navy veteran, and in his old days, he held the world record for holding his breath at over 6 minutes.
I'm hoping he doesn't have to use that skill on this trip.
Hopefully not. He's currently working his way through Memphis from what I was able to check it on his website.
Here's what I think. I think that guy's probably so salty. He's probably got, I want to believe he's got an anchor tattooed on his forearm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this guy is totally like Popeye-esque, though. Though, you know what? What's his name? From Robert Conrad from Baba Black Sheep. What was it?
I don't know.
You never watched Baba Black Sheep?
No. What are you talking about?
Man, look it up. Holy crap. No, he's like this total badass guy, you know, and he probably has gotten into like bar fight after bar fight all
I'm
the
looking
way
looking it up. Baba Black Sheep.
Ooh, yeah, Pappy.
Lyrics. No, I don't want the lyrics.
Pappy O'Doyle, Pappy, not Pappy O'Daniel, Popeye Doyle, Pappy.
No, it keeps, I'm trapped in a world of like children's musicals. Going
Black Sheep Squadron. Put in that. Put in Black
Sheep.
Oh,
yeah, Sheep. Yeah. Okay, right here. Yeah. IMDb, here it comes.
There it is. Bam.
Ooh, World War II Adventures of U.S. Major Pappy Boyington.
Pappy Boyington. Yeah.
That's it.
That is my callback from my childhood right there. Pappy nice. Boyington. Yeah.
That's Robert Conrad.
Yeah, but if you read about the real life Pappy Boyington, pretty impressive guy. Not nearly as impressive as this dude who was 80 years old paddling down the Mississippi for his granddaughter.
And solo. Bam. That's the best part about it. He's doing it solo.
I mean, okay, he's kind of hanging out with a buddy, though. That's cool, though. But, I mean, you're right. He's doing it solo. He's, you know, no one else is doing the whole thing with him.
Yeah.
So
there we go.
Totally cool.
So that's my news stories of this week.
Those are great stories. You know what we also have?
Yeah.
We got an interview.
We do.
We do, don't we?
Yes.
Well, it's your baby. Tell me about it.
Oh, well, I thought we have an interview.
I thought we had an interview.
No, we don't. No. That was Simon Willis from I did his podcast. He interviewed me.
I thought you interviewed him back.
No.
I thought you
were just I should have. I didn't even think of it.
That's what you implied, that you interviewed him back.
Oh, I'm sorry I set you up for
it. Dude, that sucks. Yeah. That sucks. Simon Willis would have been awesome.
Yeah.
He'd have been great to hear on this podcast. Finally, some talent.
Yeah, I know.
That'd be good.
He's way better than we are.
Oh, well, you know.
What are you reading these days?
What am I reading?
Give me a quick book review.
You know what? I just got done reading, and this is not very exciting. I got done reading the book by one of the founders of Google.
Ooh.
I can't remember his name. That's how much it impressed me. But it was actually quite a good book. But what I really want to talk about, because they're making a movie out of it, and we've talked about this.
Okay.
Red, The Martian.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the first full trailer that just came out?
I did see it.
I'm so excited.
I am. I squealed. There was squealing involved. Now, here's the thing. And David, anybody who's read this book will agree with us 100%. And if you don't, you didn't really read the book. We all agree that Matt Damon would not be my first choice.
No.
For actors. We all agree that the movie couldn't possibly even come close to as good as this book is. We all agree that probably the movie is going to be spectacular.
I'm pretty excited about it. It looks good.
Yeah, and I think Matt Damon's going to do great, do a very good job at it as well. I watched Rounders last night, so I was reminded of how good an actor he can be.
Right.
So the premise behind this book, as you well know, is, Martian space travel to Mars is almost commonplace to the point where they've got a relatively set schedule to send missions to Mars. And I don't want to give too much of this away, but it's still a big process. It's not like, you know, we've got Scotty at the warp drive and saying, I'm giving her all she's got, Captain. It is, you know, a 6 month, 3 month?
Yeah, it's kind of 6 months.
Yeah, it's a long distance to get there and back. And so they send this team out, and immediately get hit by a storm, and they have to evac pretty quickly. And they leave accidentally one of the guys on Mars, and they take off in their escape pod, and the crew is flying back. Well, this guy is thought to be dead, but he's really not dead. So the whole movie, or the whole book, I should say, is about this guy's this guy's challenge to stay alive and his attitude. And I'm sure if you've never read the book, you're probably thinking, this is probably the stupidest story. How could someone live on Mars for 2 years or whatever it is by themselves? Trust me, it is so good and so well thought. And I don't even know if the science is good, but it's so well thought out.
Well, you know, I was reading an article about it from a NASA perspective, and they were saying what's really interesting about the book, and especially watching the movies because it's kind of come to life, is it's all technology that NASA is essentially ready to do in the next 10 to 15 years, except for the part of actually going to Mars. All the stuff that they talk about, like, it's very near future technology.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's super cool.
You do know in the science world, though, if you look into anything, it's always just 5 to 10 years off.
Space,
so, yeah. Right. But, yeah, so, you know, screw you, NASA. I get it. So, but the you know, give it a chance because it's not it's as fanciful as the book is, it's not fanciful.
I guess it's good. You buy into it and you're just like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course, flying to Mars. It's great.
You know, I can't say enough good stuff about this book. So if you get a chance, the movie's coming out in what, a couple weeks? Month?
Yeah.
I don't know. If you get a chance to read the book prior to, you'll be thrilled that you did. But definitely see the movie. So that's what I've been.
I think it's mid-October that it's coming out.
Right on. What have you got? What report have you prepared for the class?
I'm currently working through again for the second time, maybe the third, because I really enjoy it, Robo-Apocalypse by Daniel H. Wilson.
Okay.
Have you been through it?
Never read Robo-Apocalypse.
Oh, you'd really enjoy it.
I'm going to.
You totally would. Daniel H. Wilson is a great science fiction writer. He writes a lot of kind of technology apocalyptic type stuff. You know, computers go bad.
Yeah.
And it's really good. And is it
a singularity kind of deal?
It's about it's essentially, okay, so you know how World War Z, that book was about the documentation of the zombie apocalypse?
Sure.
Okay, so it's a collection of stories. You remember that? Okay, so it's not the terrible movie, the book. So it's a collection of different people's stories from around the world and how they experienced it. Well, this is a very similar thing, but it's about the robot uprising. And it's really good. And so the basic premise is that a scientist creates this artificial life that's able to escape the Faraday cage that he's been trapped in. And then from there, it over the next 3 or 4 years, it ends up, this is in the future where there's robots everywhere and all kinds of stuff, domestic helpers. And yeah, and so it's really, he infects all these things and they start killing all the people. So then it's all about like, how does mankind fight back? It's a great little story.
All right. Well, I'm interested. Apocalypse. I'm interested. So before we go here, and you know, it's as I'm looking at the time, we've been jabbering on quite a bit. What do you got coming up? Anything good?
Not much. I'm done teaching for a bit. I might have a course at the end of September if enough people sign up for it to be a level 2 skills course with Paddle Canada. So we'll see.
Yeah. Very good. We've got Ray and myself. Ooh. Yeah, we're going to go back up to Munising, Michigan, up in the UP, and we're going to do the Gales in November, which is going to happen
the very first
weekend of October, if you get a chance to
I might be coming to it.
Oh,
I might. It depends if my boss is going to give me the time off.
Oh, I just...
Real hit and miss.
My heart just fluttered.
I know.
You know what? We've been saying this for a while, but if you come up,
yeah,
we are going to do a live recording.
It'd be fun.
Together, and we're going to have the coaches in the background. So the cool thing about the Gales November, guys, if you want to go, you should go. It's a little bit more predictable, more challenging water, and the coaches are operating at a pretty good level. So you've got some great experiences to really practice some of that rough water stuff with a safety net and with coaches who are going to give you the best you can get out there in terms of rough water. It's a great weekend. It's up in the UP. There's Johnny Dogs. It's phenomenal. I had my birthday. I celebrated my 46th birthday up in the UP. And the one thing that I needed to do on my birthday was go to Johnny Dogs. And of course, I went to Johnny Dogs. So
I love hot dogs.
Johnny Dogs is so much more than... than the hot dog. But anyway, we digress. So going to the Gales, if you can get up to the Gales, I'll be stoked. Obviously, Ray, who pisses excellence is going to be up there. Half Yeti and half Spaceman.
And 100% beautiful and 200% awesome.
100% beautiful, 200% awesome. Yeah, he looks like a Greek god.
I don't think I'd go that far with
he literally chased a bear away with his bare hands.
Maybe Mediterranean god. I'll go with that.
Mediterranean would work. He, you know what? His daughter's fiance, boyfriend from Brazil probably knows all about this poop story.
That's true.
Yep.
Probably.
Just saying.
Gotta get him on the line.
Yeah, so that's what I got coming up. I'm going to be teaching with the Power of Water and Trey at MSU, Michigan State University, doing some stand-up stuff.
Oh, very cool.
That's a closed session. No one can bask in the glory that is me. But I got some teaching coming up. Might do a little bit of a secret, totally ninja secret paddling trip.
Ooh.
I can't talk about, really.
Yet you are.
Well, I'm not going to give you any details. It's North Manitou Island.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay. I haven't been out there in a few years, and I figure I'm about due.
Oh, so, awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to go out there and do that. It's a quick trip. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I got. You got anything more, buddy?
I'm all talked out.
I am through. Well, folks, I got to say that, as always, it is a rare pleasure, and I say that because we don't record often. It's a rare pleasure for us to share a little time with you guys, and thank you very much for letting us dust off the ring rust here and get back into the saddle of doing this whole kayak mainline thing. We promise, cross our heart. We're not going to promise. We'll do another one. I don't know when. Mm-hmm. We're going to record another one sometime. And I look forward to the news stories. And but anyway, folks, it's wonderful to be back in the saddle. David, how do you feel?
I'm feeling great.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're feeling great. I pour my heart out to our fans, and then you say, yeah, I'm good too. So I'm glad that you know at least one of us care about you guys, and then there's David, so that works out. This is your friend and mine, Kelly Blades,
David Johnston, that's
and
me.
We are Kayak Mainline, and remember, spay and neuter your children.
You've been listening to the Kayak Mainline podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard today, please tell a friend or tell five. This shouldn't be a secret just for us. That thing you did with the German Shepherd, the surgical tubing, and the Bananas Foster, that's probably a secret you want to keep to yourself. But the podcast, let's tell everyone. Thanks for listening. The Sea of Heartbreak.